on today's show.
Just don't assume anything, especially just because it's an English-speaking country or that it's a modern country, that we are also similar to America. I know that you can say that there's a secularization of America in so many ways, but Australia, we're already there. So I would say that 95% of the time that I have a conversation with somebody, I'm most likely talking to somebody who's not a follower of Christ. And so it gives me an opportunity in every conversation to be able to introduce Jesus into their lives. That the fact that so few people go to church, much less so few people actually know Jesus as their savior, at 95% of the population, you have an opportunity here.
Stay tuned. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined again, as always, by my good friend and co-host and history debate pillow fighting interlocutor, Scott W. Dunfer, pastor of San Mateo. He's not the pastor of the whole town. He's actually just the pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo. We're just going to name you the Bishop of San Mateo, actually. Does that work for you, brother?
Okay.
Yes, yeah, we're off to
don't tell the other pastors that, but yes.
A great start here, absolutely. And I should say, by pillow fights, I do mean intellectual debates that are just friendly ones. So let the record show.
I just thought because they were powerless and they have no oomph behind them.
Well, and that's quickly the direction that we're going here. But hey, why don't we just test our audience's patience even more and mention that with our guest today, whom Scott will introduce in just a moment, we have many critical topics to discuss, including the topic of the role of film in evangelism and cultural engagement. And how can we enter into the cinematic space and redeem it, or maybe even not so much redeem it as use it and maybe even be changed by it, but bring it to bear in our witness. And of course, we're going to talk about that in the overtime. But if you're not a member of our premium subscription family, what are you waiting for? You can listen to that bonus episode simply by going to missionspodcast.com/premium. And you can not only get access to the content, you can certainly do that, but really you can become a supporter of the ministry. The Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. And by your partnership, we're able to do more and mobilize more thinkers and help more thinkers to go. So, Scott, with that, I've already sort of tipped my hand a little bit. We do have a guest who is not only an expert in that area of film, but is also thinking through many creative methods of evangelism while still staying faithful and doing that from the land down under. Right, Scott?
That's right. And so we're excited to have with us a missionary. We love having missionaries on our show. I think our missionaries are our best guest. And so this is a missionary that I don't think I've ever met you before, Russ.
Nope, we haven't met.
Russ Matthews is a missionary I've heard about for a long time. Oh, and excited to finally get to meet you. You're
a celebrity up here.
Kathy.
Infamous.
We've been in Australia since 2006. You know, let me get through this, guys. Come on, this is terrible recording. Well, maybe it's actually good. I don't know. Their ministries have included church planning, evangelism, children's ministries, film reviews, evangelistic events, training, and working in the media. A number of different ministries. We're going to talk about those in just a second. And just serving faithfully in Australia for so long. Thank you so much, Russ, for suffering down under. Is all of Australia just like what we've seen on Rescuers Down Under and Crocodile Hunter and what's the other one? Quigley Down Under. Now I've exhausted all of my Australia knowledge.
Oh, no.
Is that the way Australia is?
Don't forget Bluey.
Don't forget Bluey.
Oh, yes.
And the man from Bluey. Snowy River.
And Finding Nemo. We've done it.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's why I love Australia so much. Actually, the girls in my church, in my youth group growing up, loved the man from Snowy River so much that it made me actually struggle with Australia.
Well, and you know, this episode is already broadcasting excellence. Some might even say it's excellence in broadcasting. God, I will say, you know, we talk about cross-cultural things all the time as an organization. And you and I, in our own personal lives, cross-cultural ministry is what we are talking about constantly here. I did make a comment to my wife not long ago. I said, I find it crazy that there is such a, that Australia is so similar superficially. Don't get me wrong, superficially similar to the United States, but but still so similar just in terms of outward appearance and mannerisms and culture and language in so many ways. And yet it's so remote and so far away. And I think oftentimes our view of the globe is stretched when we have conversations with people from faraway places and people that are ministering across the globe. So talk to us then, because of all of that, what it is like doing full-time Christian ministry there. You know, you're not building on any kind of a real culturally Christian foundation. There's disadvantages and maybe some advantages to that as well. And I know you're engaged in evangelistic activity, missional activity through a number of creative, can I use the word creative, opportunities. Go ahead and describe for us what that looks like for you.
Yeah, you know what? Now, don't get me wrong. The church definitely has a footprint here, and definitely have had an influence over the years, you know, through different denominations that have. And so we do have opportunity. It's not like we're kind of starting from ground zero when we come. So there is a Christian heritage that kind of influences our society, but really the majority of the population doesn't go to church. And so if you any given Sunday in all the evangelical churches in Sydney, there'll be more people at one football stadium on Sunday than there will be in all of the evangelical churches just in Sydney alone, just to kind of give you a perspective. And so what that means is you have to kind of go and meet people where they are with the gospel, opposed to assuming that they're just going to come to church. So probably our first mode of invite to come kind of introduce Jesus into the narrative is not necessarily go, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Because that's just not a natural thing. To think, oh, to go on Sunday. No, I go to play footy or football, or we kind of go do cricket or something along those lines. We go to the beach, but it's not necessarily thinking about going to church. And so what we have to do is really look at how we meet people where they are with the gospel, introduce the Bible into their lives, and use creative ways to be able to kind of talk with them. Now, one thing that's really different, though, about our culture opposed to, say, what you may experience in America, though, is that we have freedoms that are very different in the sense that we can actually go into businesses. We work with Christians inside of businesses. We work with Christians inside of different areas, and we actually can have those conversations. Even though we might get pushed back on quite a bit, we actually open up the door to conversations. And so that's like what we do with City Bible Forum and Third Space, and then also even with Real Dialogue, is where we really meet people where they are with the message of the gospel, encourage them to read the Bible, hopefully seeing in that kind of investment over time that they will come to know Christ, and then hopefully be a part of a local church in their area.
If you're listening to the Missions Podcast, you probably already believe in missions. You believe that God is working for his glory in Christ among the nations, and that we have a role to play in that important and unfolding task. But maybe you just haven't quite found that role yet. Maybe you thought you were called, but maybe you're not sure now. Or maybe you've been a sender for a long time, but you're starting to get uncomfortable. Maybe like the Lord is leading you to do more. Well, ABWE's 24-hour demo is for you. Visit a global missions agency with missionaries in more than 80 nations. Meet a host of veteran missionaries and worship and pray and break bread with others who are just like you, in your shoes. Leave ready to take action with your next step of obedience identified so that you can do it. Now, this demo event happens multiple times year-round, so you can find the next event and register now at demo.abwe.org and use the promo code PODCAST, that's promo code PODCAST in all caps, to receive a discount on your registration fee. This could be the thing that you're waiting and praying for. Again, visit demo.abwe.org and use promo code PODCAST to register now and come to an event that could unlock your next step in obeying the Great Commission.
So you talk a little bit about what you're doing with your film reviews and how that tends to work.
So if you want to go down the film path, so with Real Dialogue, one of the things that we do is one thing we found that inviting someone to come to church is kind of a hard thing. It's because people aren't necessarily, that's not a part of their culture. It's not part of what they do. Opposed to if you were to say, hey, what would you like to go see a film with me or go see a movie with me? And it will have this messaging. We'll maybe have a panel discussion that kind of goes along with it afterwards, where we kind of discuss some of the film themes and things that kind of go along with that. And then encourage them or actually invite them to kind of be a part of either a discussion group That maybe we could talk more about some of the themes from those films, and then also move them towards considering reading the Bible one-to-one, or even potentially down the track going to church. And so that's what we do with Real Dialogue. So Real Dialogue, we have events where we invite people to kind of come along, or we have small discussion groups like we did just recently on Friday night. We have a small discussion group. One guy invites three or four of his friends. Actually, it was about 10 people come along, see a film. And then afterwards, we go have coffee. So we call it Cinema and Coffee, where we go and have coffee afterwards and just sit down and chat about the themes of the film. And that's where we move people closer to having a discussion about the Bible. Now, in the business realm, which is that's what we do with City Bible Forum, we have large public events, or also we can do small in-house events inside of corporations, inside of a boardroom, where we go through and either read the Bible, consider reading the Bible, or actually looking at just different topics that would move us towards having those discussions on the Bible.
One thing that I think we often face in our evangelism here stateside, I know you face it as well, brother, is how difficult it is to communicate with somebody in a developed, comfortable Western country that they need something, that they lack something. I can certainly imagine that's something that you're wrestling with as you're trying to influence these high-level business people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, starting, I think, those evangelistic conversations, just having the conversation is half the battle, just making that a safe chat to have. But then beyond that, how have you seen people move from that place of exposure to the gospel to actually awareness of a need? Or do you see that shift happen often? And how do you work and till the soil so that, by God's grace, that happens more often?
Well, I think there's two things to that, Alex. It's a great question. Because I mean, one, and it's also a cultural thing, which I don't think it's necessarily unique to Australia, but it really kind of comes down to relationship and really building relationships with those people. And so first, being a part of the population, being in the culture, opposed to separate from it, and seeing the opportunities to be able to kind of speak the language within whatever it is that we do. So one would be when we train people specifically, say you're an accountant and you work at a large accounting firm, you speak the language in that atmosphere, you're able to kind of work within that atmosphere, you build relationships within that atmosphere. And so you're able to kind of speak the language of that said firm, as it were. But then on top of it, realizing that there's humans working there, it's not just people going in and just looking at numbers on a spreadsheet. There also are people who are going through life. They have different difficulties and challenges. And so to think that you're not going to have a deeper conversation with somebody you build a relationship with at work isn't really realistic. I mean, because you're going to talk about more than just accountant things or numbers or money. You're going to be really looking at what it is that they are as a person and building into that relationship and friendship. And I think that those are where the bridges into conversations with that go deeper, because it's that old expression of, the fastest way to the heart is through a wound. Well, many times when people are going through a difficult time, when they're going through a challenging time, they'll do that. We find that people are in the workspace, and that's usually where they find a lot of times where they have those conversations with somebody. And so it gives them the opportunity to be able to do it that way. And, but then also too, I think that that's why we use natural things like safe film as a bridge into it, because it's an easy conversation point of being able to say, hey, tell me about the movie you saw this weekend. What did you enjoy about it? And then what they enjoy, they may like a movie that you may not even like or enjoy, but they enjoy it. But that you're able to go through and talk about it and move them closer to having a discussion about justice, about redemption, about all of the different things that are really themes from the Bible. And it doesn't even have to be a weird gear crunch moment where you're trying to get it to the message of the Bible. It's just a matter of just kind of moving them down that track and having those conversations and being there. But I think that the big thing is, and this is where, because like with me, I do a film training specifically called Light in a Dark Room. I go in, I do a film critic. I've had the privilege of going to go in and doing press releases or press screenings. I sit in a room. So last night I was at a screening. I was the only Christian in the room in amongst a whole bunch of other film critics, but I'm walking out with or sitting down and talking with people who are from that background, but also I represent Christianity and Jesus within that atmosphere. And so taking that to that topic is just that I out myself, as it were, as a Christian, in that atmosphere. And it gives me a unique opportunity to be able to speak specifically into this culture, as it were, at this part of the culture that other people aren't in, just because they're not, don't have that privilege to be able to do that. And so I think that that's what we try to show people in the workspace, but also with their lives, that they can actually reach out to people and meet them where they are with the gospel, opposed to waiting for them to come to them.
So I'm really curious about the way you're connecting with business people there, because I kind of imagine that Sydney, where you're located, is very similar to the Bay Area where I am, where very diverse population, very busy, go, you know. And then I think when you have like an immigrant population, you tend to have people who are really driven and also kind of in fear of failing, you know? So I think there's like this hidden motivation within them of like not stopping. And so how do you go about equipping your people for that kind of workplace relationship building? And how are you seeing that happen, where you're getting people to slow down enough to get involved in their lives to be able to have these kind of conversations?
I could go on and on about this, but thanks so much for asking that, Scott, because it's a couple things that we do. One thing we do is probably set the expectation right from the beginning and saying, hey, evangelism, sometimes you have those experiences where you go in and you talk with somebody, they're interested, and all of a sudden they become a follower of Christ in a few days or weeks. That does happen. But I have a feeling your experience with church, and also even within your culture, it's a long game proposition. So meaning evangelism takes time, and so does relationship building. It takes time building trust and kind of building those kind of relationships along the track. Now, we have to also, so what we do is we actually train people specifically in the business realm of making sure that how you actually live out your faith at work, one, that you live out at a level of excellence, but then also that you make sure that you are being very outward about your faith and who you are, but then also not being weird in the workplace, where all of a sudden you're going having tracks on your desks, or all of a sudden your screen has the revolving cross on it or something like that. It's actually being real and actually being a part of the community and actually working with that. You don't have to compromise your faith, but you can actually represent people and actually build into those relationships in so many different ways. But then also always kind of considering and moving people towards talking about the Bible and the gospel in that atmosphere. You still have to talk about work, but actually moving people towards that. So one of the things we do is we actually train people to do evangelistic prayer teams. I know this is to train people how to pray, but we actually have people get together on a regular basis, like about fortnightly, meaning every other week or maybe once a month, and they pray specifically for their non-Christian work colleagues. And in that atmosphere, they're not praying for Aunt Bertha's knee. They're not talking about all the other things that are going on that in their lives. They're specifically praying for the souls of their non-Christian work colleagues and the open door of opportunities for that. But then one of the things we do with City Bible Forum is we try to set up an atmosphere where they can then invite somebody easily to come to an in-house meeting something within their corporation where we're doing a study or hearing a talk along those lines. That's not necessarily in a church atmosphere. It's still kind of in their atmosphere, or even like a real dialogue event where they're able to come and see a screening, and then we'll have a discussion on the topic that is going on at that time. But the evangelistic prayer team specifically prays for their work colleagues. And so we're seeing people introducing and talking to, and the open door of opportunities that come from those stories is pretty amazing to be able to see people introducing the gospel in that atmosphere. But then also, how do you do that? Because sometimes people say, well, but you can't talk about it, in the workplace. And I can appreciate that. But the thing is that you have break times, you have opportunities to maybe potentially take them out for a coffee, for a meal. Or if you do happen to live close to someone in Sydney, that usually doesn't happen. Usually people, they don't necessarily live near one another. So also makes another barrier to going to church. But what you can do is invite them to come along to go out for a meal and just kind of sit down and talk with somebody about what's going on in their lives, but then also kind of maybe investing a bit of your discussion of your faith into that. And so it's kind of training people. We have we have a whole training seminar. I actually have them online where you're able to talk with people in the workspace about your faith, but then also always moving them down the track and kind of moving them closer to having the message of the gospel.
Russ, what would be sort of your Macedonian call to listeners and viewers of this interview right now to say, come over here and help us, just like the Macedonian man in Paul's vision? Because I can imagine somebody looking at Australia and saying, it's not unreached. Maybe there's pockets, maybe there's tribal groups, but it's not unreached. The church does have a footprint there. The language is one in which there is a multiplicity of available resources, scripture, translation, all of those things. And so what would be your case, not only for Christian ministry to be happening there, but even for cross-cultural ministry, people coming to Australia, engaged in the type of work that you are?
I love this. This is so good. But I'm going to really just make it pretty simple. It's one, is don't assume anything, especially just because it's an English-speaking country or that it's a modern country, that we are also similar to America. I know that you can say that there's a secularization of America in so many ways, but Australia, we're already there. So as far as the number of people, I would say that 95% of the time that I have a conversation with somebody, I'm most likely talking to somebody who's not a follower of Christ. And so it gives me an opportunity in every conversation to be able to introduce Jesus into their lives. And so that the fact that so few people go to church, much less so few people actually know Jesus as their savior, at 95% of the population, you have an opportunity here. It's a massive field for an opportunity. But the statistics say, and we have some great statistics because our census is compulsory. You have to actually fill out the data on it. But that they would say, I know that probably goes against most American mindsets, but our voting, it's compulsory to vote, it's compulsory to actually fill out the census. But within that, they said about 56% to 60% of people are willing to have a conversation about spiritual matters and having those conversations about God. And they want to have those discussions. And so it's just a matter of kind of going back to it and looking the opportunity to be able to do that on a regular basis. And so I find that the opportunity is great. And also, if you're willing to get into the fray and have those conversations and be willing for pushback on it, but also being willing to have those discussions, there's a plethora of opportunities there. But also the other one, I'd love to quote one of our former missionaries who actually used to, when we first came to Australia, he retired, but one of the things that what he said was, Australia is the mission field where the mission comes to you. And because we're an immigrant nation, and because of so many different, the immigrants that are coming in are mostly coming based on economic immigration. So they're coming here for their work, but yet they're lost within this new culture that they're living in. They're all striving to and hoping to learn English in a certain way. And so there's a lot of people groups that you can actually reach here in Australia that you can't reach into in their nation or their native land. And so if you want to kind of go beyond the borders and look at every tribe and tongue, this is a great country to be able to go through and meet the people that are coming from all those nations that are coming to ours, and where we have the opportunity of meeting them where they are with the gospel. And then they're going to be more effective if they were to go back to their country than we would in so many ways, because they know the language, they know the heart of the language if they were to go back, and also be able to meet them here. So if you were coming to our church at Rouse Hill Bible Church, where there is not a lot of Anglo or white people that actually attend church there, it'd be more of people from all different stripes and backgrounds. So Filipino, Chinese, and then also so many people from India and those different areas in Sri Lanka and those different areas of the world that are represented just in our little church there in Rouse Hill, there in New South Wales, much less across Australia. So yeah, if you're Macedonian call, does it come to the field where the field comes to you as far as opportunity for multicultural or cross-cultural ministry? But also, if you want to come to a field where you're most likely going to have a conversation with many inquiring people or non-Christians that don't know Christ Jesus yet, this is the field for you. Now, I will put a caveat on that. It is not easy doing ministry here. It is a long game opposed to a short game. It's not like all of a sudden you go preach a message and 100 people come to know Jesus and, you know, and 75 of them are baptized the next time, or planting hundreds of churches. That's not going to happen necessarily here, But yet, if you're in it for the long haul, opposed to just kind of the short-term benefit, this is the place for you. So that's why when we chose to come here, we come here with we're here till the end of our days, unless the Lord changes the plans. We never want to get ahead of his plans. But we're here for the long haul, and I've really seen the benefit of that. Becoming citizens, we even became citizens here in Australia specifically so that we can say, even though I don't have the accent, we are truly Australian because we're committed to being here for the long term.
So this is a really serious question I have for you. When will you guys stop bullying New Zealanders?
Absolutely. The thing is that it's definitely tell you the American Canadian thing and the New Zealand.
I was just going to say Zealand, like that thing. That feels a lot like the America to Canada dynamic.
Yeah, it's very. There's a lot of similarities.
Leave them in their sheep alone.
Now, one thing is also they have more sheep. I know I think we have more sheep. I don't know if where are you going to go there? We just said we're a bigger country.
You're overall. Even taking that away from them. Come on.
Well, the irony is that usually most things kind of happen in New Zealand, but yet Australia takes credit for it. You know, so like our favorite, so Russell Crowe or Pavlova or all these different things that we are able to do. The one thing they do have is usually they are better at rugby than we are. So as far as the rugby union, they're really good at. But New Zealand and Australia have a really great relationship. It is a smaller country than ours, obviously. But we do, you pretty much can kind of travel between the two without too many problems. So as far as bullying, I'm not sure we actually bully, especially the Maori people. I'm not sure we bully too many of them.
I'll explain where that was coming from later off camera.
That sounds like something a bully would say.
But I do have a real question, and that is just like, what are some of the needs of the churches? Like, you're giving us a better picture of what life and ministry is like there. How can our listeners be praying for the churches in Australia? What are some of the needs that are there? And what do you see as kind of the future of the evangelical church in Australia?
Yeah, so I think that if you were to kind of be praying specifically for the churches of Australia, is one, perseverance and patience. You know, so really be able to persevere, continuing going on, even though it can be a struggle, it can be very challenging, but also to be able to see beyond just kind of the typical Australian kind of mindset and really looking at all the new opportunities. The Lord is bringing in so many different people from so many different backgrounds and so many different countries to be able to reach into those different cultures who want to be Australian, but yet kind of coming from different backgrounds. So it's really kind of understanding and seeing these microcultures that are actually occurring within mm-hmm. the Australian context that gives us unique opportunities of reaching people with the gospel, not only here, but around the world. So that would be one. But then also for the churches, specifically to be able to finding those who are willing to get trained and actually be a part of the new church plants. We have opportunities for new church plants all over Australia. I would probably would say that we're just so far behind, but in so much of it, it is an expensive country. It's a challenging country to be able to kind of get people committed to considering going in and getting the training. Because we do find that it's probably most effective is if we can have Australians actually getting the training to be able to do that, opposed to just bringing in, importing people from outside of the country to be able to kind of try and do all of the leadership of the churches. And so it's actually working with our national partners and working with our Australian friends to be able to see the value of going and getting the Bible training that they need. And then also just goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, it's just continuing on. It's a hard slog, as they would say, a very challenging thing to mm-hmm. be able to kind of continue doing ministry in Australia. And so just to be able to persevere and be able to continue on encouraging, it's also encouraging our brothers and sisters who are actually doing all of the work around Australia in the churches.
But here's the thing. Ministry is always the long, hard slog.
It is.
99.9% of the time, whether it's here, Australia, whether it's a more, 1040 window type of mission field as we would conceive of it or some other place, most of ordinary faithfulness happens in those mundane settings
yeah.
where obedience isn't attractive. It's not glamorous, but it is consistent. It's long and slow, and the Lord blesses it through normal, loving conversations in which the gospel is presented, Christ is exalted. And so we're grateful for that. I've got a few questions on my mind. One of them, though, as it relates to real dialogue,
oh, okay.
is with that ministry and using film as a, as an evangelistic tool. Number one, how dare you watch PG-13 R-rated films?
There you go.
Use those for the gospel. And how could you possibly find any redemptive value in worldly cinema? And then, and second, on a more serious note, I'm a little bit curious to hear what film or films you've found subjectively in your own conversations to be bearing through your ministry the most evangelistic fruit. I would love to hear that. Scott, I'll give you the last word for a real question, though, because what I'd love to do, Russ, is save both of those for our overtime conversation.
Well, Russ, thank you. This has been a good discussion. Enjoyed, you know, just really helping us understand a little bit more about what's going on. And I hope people will jump on over and follow up this discussion, because I'm excited about it, too. So anyway, thank you so much, Russ.
Good.
Any last words? How can people connect with you, connect with your ministries? How can people find out more about what's going on in your life and ministry in Australia?
Sure. You know what? We are thrilled to be a part of the Missions Podcast. We love ABWE. Obviously, we've been around for a while. And the best way to be able to kind of connect with us here, you can go to citybibleforum.org, citybibleforum.org. And that's with all of the business and how to reach people in the business realm. There's also thirdspace.org.au, thirdspace.org.au. And that's where we actually try and get people into conversations and communities that get them moving closer to having a discussion about the Bible and Jesus. And then finally, Real Dialogue, that's reeldialogue.com, where we put film through the lens of faith, where we see the opportunity to be able to kind of discuss film, but leading people to discussions on faith. And so that's how we are able to do that through that. And so thanks again for having me on the show. And I'm so thrilled. And I look forward to kind of the continuing the conversation.
Yes, we're going to continue that conversation. Remember, you can support the ministry and get access to that bonus conversation at missionspodcast.com/premium. And if this show is a blessing or an encouragement to you, we would encourage you, first of all, go to abwe.org, punch in Russ's name, Russ Matthews, or click one of the links in our show notes here. Russ is a missionary of ABWE. If you want to support him and his work directly with a gift, we'd encourage you to do so because we're so grateful for faithful laborers like him taking the gospel to where it needs to go. And if you are interested in taking your next step in the Great Commission and you're not sure what that is yet, we would love to invite you to start the conversation with us. Also, head on over to abwe.org for that. Of course, the Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. And if you have questions or you'd like to suggest a future guest or topic, you can email alex@missionspodcast.com, and we would love to be in touch with you. For those of you joining us for the bonus episode, we'll see you in not that long. For the rest of you who are working your way through the main podcast feed, we will see you in next week's episode. Go make disciples of all nations. God bless.